This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're glad to have you join us today. You know, it was said in ancient times that the thing that marked believers, Christians, was that they died well. Well, actually, they lived well, but oftentimes their living well is what got them in trouble. But when they died, many of them as martyrs, those who put them to death just understood something very different about them is that these people died differently. As this one writer said, they died well. We've been talking about that on Peace Talk lately, and we refer you to our website, which is peacetalk.com. You can pick up other programs that we've been dealing with the subject of believers dealing with the question of death. And we're going to continue that subject today by discussing the life of Ruth Moran. Ruth is not with us anymore. Ruth has already passed. But I have her brother here today, Stephen Injan, an old friend. And when I found out about this story, I found it on Peace Talk, on that ubiquitous Facebook. And I was brought aware of the story, contacted Steve, and then we've been discussing it later. I thought, hey, this is a story that the Peace Talk audience needs to hear. So, Steve, glad to have you and be a part of Peace Talk today.
Thank you, Larry. Glad to be here.
Okay, tell us, give us just a background. Help our audience understand who was Ruth Moran. Tell us a little bit about her.
Ruth was my sister, 11 years younger than me, and I grew up with a feisty little young sister. She had a mind of her own. She had a love for drama. She had a love for the dramatic and fancy things. She married happily a man who is now Lieutenant Colonel in the Air National Guard. She had two sons, and about the age of 30 years old, she had a diagnosis of a rare form of cancer in her jaw. And at that point, her life began to be rearranged.
Okay, so how did that happen? I mean, now she was a believer before she got cancer.
Yes, she trusted Christ at a very young age, as I think all of us did. And she grew up with the same upbringing I did, learning to accept the grace of God in her life. But we had relatively few hardships growing up. We had parents that loved us, Christian parents that loved us, a good church. So it was a shock when she was diagnosed.
Would it be fair to say that Ruth Moran was probably like the lady, like a lot of folks sat next to in church last week?
Very much so. She had distinctive characteristics. She was well known, but she was nothing extraordinary in the eyes of most people. She would have been very ordinary.
And just a church member, but now she gets the diagnosis of cancer. And how did that change her? What initially began to happen? And of course, we're going to talk in great detail about that change. But how did it affect her? How did it affect her husband, her family?
She had a lot of dreams. She had a lot of hopes for her future. There were some things that changed dramatically and some things that were brought out that were there all along, as we've talked about. God rearranged her life such that she had to dig deep and find out who is Jesus, what does he mean to her, and she had to find within herself the faith that Jesus put there that would sustain her through what would eventually take her life.
And so was the habit of her life. I mean, you mentioned that though she was what we would say probably like an average Christian, but she did have a strong devotional life, right? I mean, she was into prayer and the Bible and fellowship with people in her church before this diagnosis.
She did, and she was. She grew up in a, not grew up, but she, in her young married life, through the end of her life, she was in a Presbyterian church that taught spiritual disciplines, and she had learned prior to her diagnosis of cancer to understand God in a profound way. She had a prayer life that was not a routine prayer life. She reached out to God and spoke to him as a person. She learned to see Jesus as her treasure, And that was one of the keys that was used in her response to this cancer.
It's remarkable, isn't it? I think what you're telling me is that God worked in her life long before this diagnosis of cancer, and that God had prepared her for this and had actually given her a truth that became sustaining when she understood about cancer.
Yes, and I think that's true of all of us. God puts things in our lives, plants things, even before we're born, but through our upbringing, we have no idea how they'll be used later. And I think the idea of knowing God was a profound way God prepared her for that without her realizing it until that point.
I'm satisfied that that's a truth that we all need to pick up on. I've noticed it in others and myself, is that we begin to notice that God deals with in certain patterns. And then that becomes a way in which we identify what God's doing and how we hear him. And I take it that Ruth had picked up on this idea of God as a treasure, and that became very significant to her as she then began this journey, which lasted 13 years, didn't it?
Yes, yes. I think how that came out after she received her diagnosis, she had to, as I say, dig deep and go back to who God is. And some of the scriptures that meant a lot to her were taken from I don't know where she got it. It was some kind of a document that was titled, My Father Says. And it has scriptures such as, I will call you by name, John 10:3. If I am for you, who can be against you, Romans 8:31. Nothing can separate you from my love, verse 39. These scriptures began to sink into her in a way they hadn't before. They were there. But God said, go back and meet me again. Meet me again for the first time, so to speak. And I think the key scripture was 2 Corinthians 4, especially verses 7 to 18, speaks of the one who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then the next verse says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. She became conscious of the fact that her body was an earthen vessel and it was beginning to crack. But the treasure that she had in that earthen vessel, referring right back to that verse before, was the face of Christ, the person of Christ. And just meditating, she made a lot of this, just meditating on what God has done for us, how much he loves us, what he is, who he is, what kind of person he is, and lots of other scriptures, very specific things about who God is, was a profound influence on her response to this cancer.
Okay, if you're just joining us, this is Peace Talk, and our guest today is Steve Injan, and Steve is telling us about his sister, Ruth Moran, and what happened in her, how God changed her when she got a diagnosis of cancer. And let me ask you this question then, Steve. After with what she had understood about God as a treasure, did she still go into a period, say, of depression or questioning or doubt about any of these truths?
Yes, she did. In fact, my second sister, Kathleen, who moved in with her and took care of her sons and took care of all of her needs for the last 6 or 7 years of her life, said there were many times, those dark, lonely nights, especially the last few years of her life when she had headaches almost all the time except when she was sleeping, there were times when it seemed hopeless. And she was not always the bouncy person she was in public, but she always came back to who Jesus is and what he has promised. And I don't think she ever became depressed for a long period, but there were times when she questioned, but she always returned.
I think there's a strain of Christianity which seems to suggest that you're always on the mountaintop and you're always just running from victory to victory. But what we have found in our program here, Peace Talk, the many, many people that we've talked with, is that this is normal about a Christian life, and that God uses these doubts and this darkness and these questions, and sometimes this time where it almost seems like God is forgotten, they actually deepen the relationship. They make the ground, they really are the tilling of the soil so God can reveal himself greater. I take it that that's what Ruth found to be true in her life.
It is. That idea of victory to victory, Christian life is always good, is obviously a myth. And I think what she found to be true is that Though her grasp of him sometimes slipped, she realized and put her faith in the fact that his grasp on her never did.
I heard a story recently. It was interesting. A man told it about his father who had a very serious hospitalization. And he said, everybody came to visit me but the one person that I wanted to see. And his friend, in fact, this case, his son, said, who was that? He said, well, that was Jesus. And then he burst into tears and he said, I can't believe he trusted me so much that he didn't have to come. He knew that I knew he was there. And I just thought that was a fantastic story. And I think that's Ruth's kind of testimony here that she didn't find that. I mean, yeah, she felt that sometimes. But then again, that God was very real to her, even in the very darkest of her times.
Yeah. I think she said it was not just the facts that she needed to concentrate on, but the ultimate truths that are found in God's word and that knowledge that his grasp on her never slipped.
And how did then she ministered then to other people? And we've only got just about a minute in which to talk about this, and we'll talk more about it in the second half of the program. But it brought her out, didn't it? She began to share these things with other people.
It did, and that was, I think, one of the things that really sustained her is the fact that she could see that God was bringing good out of her suffering by seeing God use her to change others.
Our guest today is Steve Injan, and we're talking about the life of his sister, Ruth Moran, and her 13-year struggle with cancer that eventually took her life, but has left her a legacy of faith and of trust that we're going to talk about when we come back in the second half, how that affected Steve as her brother, but also how it affected others, even people of other religious cultures, how the life of Ruth Moran affected them. So stay with us. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't leave us, because this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
But before we spend more money, let's see what works, and then let's spend the money. And of course, it won't work. Republican ineptitude. If there were ever an easy issue, I mean, the Republicans ought to take this government overreach now to grab a hold of your two-year-old as a prime example of why we need school choice for 10-year-olds. They ought to be running with this as an opportunity to say, if you think Head Start worked, boy, wait till they get a hold of your kid.
Jason Lewis, Saturday afternoons from 3 to 6 on Christian Talk 660.
Darwin's impact on the culture. This is Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. You know, Charles Darwin's impact is still felt today. You see, Darwin was aware of the implications of his ideas for Christians, but he didn't seem to care. Darwin's teachers taught him that scriptural authority was not important. And we see the same attitude even in the church today. You know, evolution is a direct attack on Christianity, and yet church leaders compromise with it. We can also see the influence of evolutionary ideas all around us. For instance, our children are taught they're nothing more than animals, so why shouldn't they behave like animals? The more that Darwinian evolution pervades the culture, the more we'll see moral collapse in the world around us. We've got to fight this moral decay by standing on the authority of God's word in every area.
Our culture often tries to undermine God's word, and that's why we invite you to visit our award-winning website, answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.
My grandma does this thing when she hugs me. She gives me an extra squeeze and just holds it for a second. Maybe she wants me to get the message that I matter. Or maybe she just wants to really enjoy the moment. Because some moments are tough. She nearly lost her husband this year to a stroke. Facing the uncertainty took its toll, but thankfully she didn't go through it alone. The prayers of family, friends, and even strangers carried her through the worst of it. She had someone to believe the best with her. They gave her courage, serenity, and strength.
What if everyone had that kind of support in the moments that really matter? We want that for America, and you can be a part of it. Pray America is a movement of people of all ages and backgrounds deciding to support each other by believing with each other. Try it right now. Tweet your prayer with the hashtag PrayAmerica or visit PrayAmerica.com to post your prayers and pray it forward. In your moment of need or your moment of strength, your prayers count. Let's believe together. PrayAmerica.com.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. but I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host. We're glad to have you with us. If you stuck with us through the break, we're really glad to have you. If you're just joining us, well, it's good to have you as part of the family. You can go back. This program will appear at www.peacetalk.com, our website, and we encourage you to go look at it. The entire program will be up there shortly, that if you missed part of it, you can go back and hear it. Our guest today is Steve Injan. He's a friend of mine who I came across his story on Facebook, where he was telling the story of his sister, Ruth Moran, and her 13-year struggle with cancer, and how this lady, as a believer, how it changed her life and actually how it changed the lives of the people around her as she died very, very well. And it's a story for all of us, because we all will face this someday. And, of course, we all know people who are going through this right now. I lost a good friend this past week who died to cancer. Very quick cancer, took her life very, very quickly. This is a reality of our lives, that we know people who suffer this way, and we can be a ministry to them. So, Steve, let's pick up now the story of Ruth. 13-year struggle with cancer. Let's go back. Remind us a little bit about some of the things that were very, very important to Ruth as she engaged God in the middle of this very dark struggle.
I think the knowledge of scriptures that I've referenced a little bit before, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again, therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The knowledge that what she looked like, and the cancer devastated, she had several terribly disfiguring surgeries, and she had to get used to people not even wanting to look at her and pointing at her, children pointing at her and making faces. And so she had to focus on her inner person a lot more than she had before. She was a lovely young lady before she had this cancer and before the surgery. So the idea that her inner man was becoming more beautiful, her inner person, even though her outer person was decaying, which is true of all of us, really, in a way.
It's remarkable, isn't it, that many of these truths, the only way we actually learn them is to suffer these very things. It's very hard to pick up on some of these concepts simply by reading them. They're so abstract sometimes.
Right, and as we've talked about before, because she knew these things long before, it was a matter of God drawing them out rather than trying to insert something and paste on top of her life. It was there already, and those things brought them to the surface, I think.
So if we have a practice point, if we want to call it that, to a believer who's sitting here listening to us, we would be saying to you, you need to be regularly inputting truth into your life, even if it's sometimes you don't know exactly how it's going to work out, exactly how it's going to have its effect. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus said, was to remind us of the things that we had learned. To the disciples specifically, he said, the Spirit will come and will remind you of the things that I told you.
Right.
And that is the ministry of the Spirit, but he can't remind us of something that's not there.
Yes, so, exactly.
So Ruth had this experience. She was inputting this truth into her life, and then as the battle of cancer began, God began to make this truth very, very real in
yes.
her life.
Mm-hmm.
How did this affect other people? You said, one, it made some people not wanting to be around her, but there were other people who did come around her. There were other people who, in her friends and her community, that were very important to her. How did that work out?
Very much. And one of the things about this particular story, it was a former classmate of hers, actually a former student of mine, who just 2 years ago, contacted her out of the blue. He said, I'm a Buddhist, and you know, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, but I believe in other religious figures too. But he said that her deep faith and the way she affected others through God's compassion had deeply moved him. And he lives in Tokyo now, so she had no knowledge of what was going on in his life, but by God's grace, he affected this young man, Leonard, through Ruth's testimony. And I think what it was in him that was so impressive was the body of Christ showing compassion and the community that believers have with one another in Christ impressed him as a unique characteristic that he didn't see anywhere else. Even though he had been exposed to the gospel, it still stood out to him to see that unique quality of her showing compassion to others and others to her in return.
And that should not be remarkable to us, I guess, because Jesus prayed in his last few hours with his disciples is that they would love one another, and because of that, the world would see that they had been with him.
Yes. She, one of the things that helped her, she had worked out during her cancer a theology of suffering. But the thing about that was, even though she had training in theology and she knew the scripture well and she exposited it well, she lived her theology. And that's what Leonard was seeing, and that's what a lot of other people saw too. She lived it.
And sadly, that's what some people don't see in the church, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, what was remarkable to him, because this was a situation who grew up in a Christian environment, but he didn't see this kind of love until the story of Ruth came along.
Apparently not. Either it was there and he didn't look, or God used her in a unique way to impress him. Either way, the outcome was the same.
Well, we've been talking about how people were impressed. Stephen, let's talk about you, because you were close to Ruth during this time. You're her brother. She, as you mentioned, 11 years older. And I noticed something in the information that you gave me about your prayer life with Ruth, that you said that you wrote her prayers and you prayed with her. But about the prayers, did you go and find prayers that you would send her out of books, or did you write prayers and send them to her?
I wrote them out. Often I would email prayers. In the later days of her life, she couldn't read at all. Her eyesight was almost gone, and so I either called her on the phone and prayed with her or prayed with her in person. But prior to that, for several years, I wrote prayers out. And she expressed how much they meant to her in the dark, deep times of near despair. And I think the reason was because Holy Spirit was showing himself to me personally in a very profound way that I had not experienced before. I had to figure out, what can I do for my sister? There was not a lot I could do. My younger sister was taking care of her all the time. I felt kind of helpless. So I asked Jesus, what can I do to minister to her needs? And through my prayers for her, I think that she was deeply affected, but I was affected by seeing that I can minister to her in a way I hadn't even anticipated. Using scripture, I think of the passage where God says to Moses in Exodus 3:7, I know their sorrows. He was speaking of the nation of Israel. But in one of my prayers, I said, you know, Jesus, we know from your word that you know Ruth's sorrows too. And just the knowledge that Jesus knows is a profound thing. And one of the things I would encourage people to do, if you are inclined to pray for someone who is in need, who is suffering, don't just say, you know, don't Facebook them and say, praying for you. Send them a prayer right there. I mean, that's what it's for. If you meet someone in church who's going through difficulty, don't say, I'm praying for you. Do it with them. That's what fellowship is about. And that's where the grace of God just flows. So I would say that it affected me in that way, because I hadn't anticipated that I would be able to do anything for her, and it comforted and encouraged her.
And something I'd like to pick up on, and let's remind our audience, I'm talking with Steve Injan, who was dealing with his sister, Ruth Moran, as she was struggling with cancer. So if you're just joining us, that's the background of what we're talking about. Steve was sending his sister prayers, but Steve, it's interesting to me that you prayed and asked God, how can I do this? And I take it that God actually said to you, I mean, you sensed the presence of God then saying, this is what you can do. So now you have become a participant with Jesus in comforting your sister.
Yes.
And you're hearing God. So this is changing you.
It was. I had not experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in such a way before, in the presence of Jesus. It did. And I think the actual praying with someone is what ministers that grace, instead of just saying you're praying for them.
And I would take it too, then, especially if you take time to find out from God what it is He wants you to pray.
That's a key point, Larry. I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, you have to struggle for a while. And, you know, just rattling off a superficial, please bless this person, doesn't do it. You've got to struggle with God and say, God, sometimes you just have to ask Him, God, what do you want me to say to you? And when you desperately want it, that's what He wants. He wants us to desperately want Him, and that's how He changes us, too.
So you found that Ruth, and you're dealing with her, and we're coming right down to the end of the program, Ruth is developing a great dependence on God, and so is Stephen in ministering to her, is saying, God, we're depending on you to work this out and how this works out in our lives.
Very much so. My older sister, Susan, mentioned something. I want to be careful to emphasize that Ruth drew great strength in two things, other than what we've talked about already, the friends who visited her and ministered to her, but also, and perhaps most of all, in her ability to minister to others. She made a number of trips to MD Anderson in Houston, and my sister Susan mentioned that whenever Ruth waited in waiting rooms, which she did a lot of, she didn't just wait. She was always making connections with people. She always had her brochure, which had her testimony written out, giving them to people. She had numerous conversations with all kinds of medical caregivers. They all knew her. They knew her story. And I think the most profound truth from her life that I recall is that she knew that she actually led a fellow cancer patient to Christ at MD Anderson, a lengthy conversation. Susan says she was exhausted after that time, but she was giddy. She realized that God was bringing good out of her suffering. And the knowledge that she didn't even know about all the people that were being affected was even more a thrill to her.
Our guest today has been Stephen Injan. Steve, thank you for taking the time to be a part of the program today and sharing the story of your sister and your own story of how God changed you and has made you a different person, and how God worked in Ruth's life as she struggled with cancer. I trust that our audience today has found in it the hope and the help and the peace that Peace Talk is all about, and that they're encouraged in their walk today. Thank you for being a part of Peace Talk, because this is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.